Man, well, thank you for having me here this morning, and Haley as well, and my wife and my daughter. She's the noisy, squiggly two-year-old redhead back there. We are glad to be here and so grateful for your church family. Even though I am just being introduced to many of you, I've been aware of your church for many years before I was on staff at Obrea. I actually served on the board of directors. I was the chairman of the board for about 7 of 8 years that I was on the board. And so Haley and the crew have spoken very highly of all of you. I've had the chance to meet some of you at our banquets last year specifically. And so it is just really a privilege and a joy and honor to be able to share with you all today. Thank you so much for the support and encouragement that you have been to us in a very, very difficult ministry. And you'll hear why that's so difficult as we go along here this morning. Like I said, my name is Brian. I was a lifelong children's pastor until I got demoted to the pulpit about 10, 12 years ago. And so I have served as a teaching pastor. But over the last year and a half or so, I've had the opportunity to once a month to step out of the pulpit at my church, Southside Christian in Lebanon, and travel around to different churches, and it has been such a blessing. I absolutely have loved that opportunity. In the 25 years now that I've been in ministry, I'd never really had that chance. I've been so committed to the church family I was at that I didn't really get exposed to a lot of other churches around, and it has been just really, really incredible, and today is no less incredible than all those other experiences. I love you guys, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here. This morning, I was given the opportunity to preach as well as share about Obrea, combining two of my very favorite things in life, sharing the gospel and also sharing about Obrea, because Obrea means so much to me. And you might wonder, people have wondered and questioned, why on an organization like Obrea, which is primarily a women's medical reproductive clinic, would a man be sharing about the services that they offer? And the reason is, many years ago, when I was a children's pastor, I was introduced to the pro-life movement, and specifically with pregnancy resource centers, down when I served at a church in Southern California. And so it became something that was very important to me as a children's pastor to preserve life, and to especially the life of newborns. And so I followed along with the movement and supported that financially that pregnancy clinic. And then when I moved up to Lebanon, Oregon, I was introduced to Debbie Tracy, and she invited me onto the board of directors where I served. About that same time, just shortly before actually I joined the board, I was introduced to my wife, and we were married, and we began our journey as a family. And so that journey was planned out. In fact, one of the things that bound us together was our plan to have 5 kids. And on one of our dates, we actually planned all of their names, and we were going to have what order they were going to come in and all of that stuff. We had great fun with that. And then we began that process of trying to biologically have our own family, and we were unsuccessful for many, many years. In fact, after several years of failing in that, it felt like a failure anyways, we explored foster care, and we began praying for maybe the Lord is leading us to reward a mom who chooses life for her child. And so we desired to adopt a baby, and we began that process. We entered the adoption process, and that took us 8 years. 8 years. And one day we got a call for a family in Las Vegas, and so we traveled down to Las Vegas, and where we were met the family, and everything was going well until the mother freaked out on us and rejected us. And so we came home. We were so crushed and devastated after 8 years. To be rejected like that was so heartbreaking for us that we literally got a rental car and abandoned our flight. We got a rental car and we drove through the desert. And the Lord led us through that desert, and He brought us through a very trying time in our relationship with each other. The heartbreak of saying, okay, I think we're done. I think this is it. Our journey's over. But we started to dream. Maybe we will be able to support missionaries and fly around the world, and some people who are very close to us serve in Africa and Laos and other places, and we'll go there and we'll just be able to do all those things. And so the healing process began as we drove through that desert. We got home, and it was shortly before Thanksgiving in 2022, I believe it was, And my timing may be off a little bit. It all runs together these days. But it was right before Thanksgiving, and we were preparing the day before Thanksgiving, and I got a phone call from that birth mother. And she said, "We want you to come back. We've changed our mind." And so I said, "Okay, but we're going to wait through Thanksgiving because we just can't just turn around and abandon our family after this is too much. We're going to wait till Monday. We'll see where you're at Monday. We'll come back." And so I hung up the phone, and I didn't hang up on her, but I put down the phone after our conversation was over. And about 30 seconds later, I got a phone call from Debbie Tracy at Obria. And she said, "Brian, are you sitting down?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm not, but go for it." She says, "I have a baby for you. I have a baby for you." And I said, "Well, I'm not sitting or standing. I'm laying on the ground now because you just blew my doors off, right?" And so we said, "Lord, what are you preparing for us? What is going on? Because now this other child is back on the table, and now you're telling me you have a baby that's going to be yet to be born. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And so I panicked. I think I might have even hung up on Debbie Tracy. And I talked to my wife, and we just finally said, "Well, if this is what God is taking us to, then we will be obedient to wherever he's leading us." Well, a few days later, the birth mom from Las Vegas called us back up and said, "We've changed our mind again." But we said, "That's just fine, because the Lord has laid this other opportunity in our lap." And so in about 3 weeks later, Emma was born. We got to meet her about 18 hours after she was born. And the second day, the mom signed her over to us. We got to name her, one of our chosen names. And so she was a client of Obria. And she had gone to our medical staff, and she was abortion determined. And through their work, through their care, she had said, "If you can find me a birth family or a family for my child, I will keep this baby." Well, Debbie Tracy knew, as I was a member of her board and we had a close relationship, she knew the heartbreak that we had just gone through. And so she said, "I have the right family for you." And so I stand up here today representing Obria, not just because when I was 23 years old and a children's pastor, I got introduced to the Right to Life movement and abortion or anti-abortion stuff, right? I'm here today because specifically I have a family. I have a beautiful little 2-year-old girl, Emma Noelle, because of Obria. And so I have no choice but to proudly and energetically represent this amazing organization. That's why I'm here with you today. As we begin, we are an organization that is committed to many things, specifically empowering women, equipping men, changing lives, and building families. We are more than just a crisis pregnancy center, and we'll explain that as I go along as well. We found our roots in that movement, but we have moved well beyond that. I got to remember my clicker here this morning. There is my wife and daughter. They're sitting at the back of the room. Again, she's the noisy one back there. So when you hear, just smile, because what does that sound represent? Life. That's right. It represents life. And so I want to read to you a passage this morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. 38 years ago, Debbie Tracy, our CEO, and her husband, Chris, who just passed away this last week. So we had his funeral last night. So if you could be praying for Debbie Tracy and her family through their time of grief, we would really appreciate that, treasure that actually. But Debbie and Chris went to their pastor and they said, "We believe that we need to serve the young ladies of our community who are pursuing abortion." And so their pastor, Keith, said, "All right, well, what are you going to do about it? It looks like it's on your shoulders." And so they prayed and they fasted and they landed on Isaiah chapter 61. The first 3 verses go like this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory." The key there, really, all of it is so very important, but the thing that really resonates in the heart of Obria from its very beginning days, even till this day, is this idea that the Lord has anointed us with a purpose, and specifically, He has anointed us with the purpose of bringing good news. Good news to the poor. It says, comfort to the brokenhearted, proclaim that the captives will be released, prisoners will be free, right? Bringing joy to those who mourn. That is our job as Christ followers. This is our purpose. And any organization that claims to follow Christ should have this purpose at its heart. And so what has hit us about this is that even though this verse was prophesied so many years ago, 3,000 years ago almost, right? It still rings true. The issues may look just a little different, and we may not be going to a prison where there's literal captives, so we do that, by the way, I will say. Many of the young ladies and men who come through the doors of our clinic may not be in physical chains, but you better believe that they are in chains to their worldview, right? To a message that has been hammered into their minds that they have no value, and that the potential life within them has no value either. And so they are in chains to an idea that is against the very nature of God, the truths of God, the truths of Scripture. And so the release that we bring is a release from the captivity of insignificance and worthlessness. And we bring them to the understanding that they truly matter. Not that we're just in the business of saving babies, but we're in the business of bringing worth and value to the mother, to the father, and to that child. That all of them have value to God, and they have value to us. Why do they have value to God? Well, I want to read another passage. It comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And I am not doing what I needed to do there. All right. There we go. "According to our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on earth. Then God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, every tree which is fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Amen to that. That is the truth of God's word here. And I am just recently started using a tablet. I am now a high-tech redneck. I was born in Sweet Home, Oregon. Okay, if that says anything. Sweet Home, right? So I'm going to try. I was told I could preach a little bit this morning. And so I'm going to try here. And I am completely messing it up. So my apologies here. There we go. I just found what I needed. I want to talk to you just a little bit about this Genesis 1 passage. See, God says that He made us in His likeness. That's how you were created. That's how every human life was created, in the likeness of God. That's how you were made, how you were fashioned. You were fashioned in such a way to actually bear His image, is what it tells us. We are image bearers of the Creator God. We have been formed. With a mind behind, an intention behind our formation. And we have been given a mind like our Creator to reason, designed to reason. We've been given, like Him, a heart empowered to love other people and to love ourselves and to love our God. We have been given a spirit like Him that is inspired to create. That's why creativity is such a beautiful expression of God's amazing attributes. And we've been given a body that has been given a purpose, a job to do, to serve, and to practice dominion over this earth. You have been intentionally woven together by the One who created you. You have a purpose. You know, if you were to give me If Skip were to come up and give me this morning a big piece of paper, a big canvas, right? And then Steve were to come over and hand me some paints and say, while you're preaching this morning, paint us a beautiful picture. Oh, man. Well, I could paint maybe a stick figure and a house. And by the time I got done and I turned it back over to you, I would actually have devalued that paint and that canvas, right? It'd be worth less than it was blank. But if we were to have some famous artist, now they're dead, but Monet or a Picasso, who were to come up here and in 30 minutes were to scribble on that paper and do something that maybe it doesn't even look like anything that you can discernibly identify, at the end of that 30 minutes he were to present that to you, you better get on eBay real quick, right? Because you're going to be able to sell that for so much money, you're never going to have to think of finances in your life ever again. What's the difference? The hand of the one that created it. My hand would create nothing of beauty on a piece of paper, right? But in the hand of an artist, a master artist, it creates something valuable. And it's not the paint and it's not the canvas that makes, defines its value. It's the artist behind it. The principle here is that we are God's handiwork. And so the very thing that gives us value is not the material that we are made of, but the hand of the one that makes us. Life has value. Amen? That's why we celebrate things like sanctity of human life, because life has value. It stands to reason then that any intentionally created image bearer of a triune God would have innate worth, right? Because of where it originates. I'm going to try to go back to where I... Oh, actually, I'm going to keep going here. Off-the-cuff stuff never serves me real well. I want to read to you another passage this morning. It comes from the book of Job. Job chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. It says, "Your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Would you destroy me? Remember now that you have made me as clay. Would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese?" That's a good thing, by the way. We love cheese. "Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and loving kindness, and your care has preserved my spirit." Now, I want to come back to this in just a moment, but thinking back into our history of Scripture, specifically into the Old Testament, you would think that after being delivered from the hands of the Egyptians, right, after years and years of slavery and abuse, that the Israelites would have recognized that God had plans for them, that God had a use for them, a purpose for them. Instead, as soon as they were confronted with any obstacle, they often would cry out in despair. For instance, in Numbers chapter 14, right before, you know, this, they have this promised land before him, and they've seen God's mighty hand at work. He's provided them food and water and protection and victory and escape and his presence by this pillar of cloud or fire. And they say, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword?" Boo hoo. The truth of the matter was that God had not delivered them from the hands of slavery to the Egyptians for them to fall. He had delivered them to bring them into the fulfillment of his promise and his covenant with Abraham. He rescued them so that he could pour out his blessing upon them. He led them through the desert so that they could experience a land flowing with milk and honey. Believe me, do I feel the truth of that in my life, in my relationship with my wife, and the deliverance of my daughter. That's what God does. He rescues, he delivers, he saves so that he can bless, so that he can preserve. And see, what the idea here is that God did not create life with the purpose of destroying it. And that's what this Job passage is saying. Have your hands formed me so that you would then destroy me? What's the answer? Heavens, no. And so the Lord has a purpose for life. He has a value for life. from the very beginning, the Lord has been in the business of creating and sustaining, of forming and preserving, of planting and cultivating, and he has invited us to join him in that purpose. So that's why Obrea exists. Problem is, there's a big issue that we face every day. The heart of mankind has never been consistently aligned with the heart of God. And so as you know, we live in a state that is the most extreme when it comes to an issue like devaluing life. Recently, just in the last few years, we've had a great turn in our Supreme Court system with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And if you received our mailing list, you know that while that was a great thing for our nation, it was actually a horrible thing for our state, because it left things in the hands of the state, and our state has doubled down to the point where approximately $15 million was designated just to provide abortions for anybody who comes into our state from anywhere around the world, providing their transportation, their stay, and the abortion procedure. And so the abortion numbers in Oregon are dire. These numbers are a little bit out of date. This is from 2023. We have not received the updated numbers from 2024 yet. But in Oregon, there was 10,075 abortions in 2023. Now, here's the problem. This statistics is misleading in a little bit. You know why? Yeah, the abortion pill. The abortion pill and the availability of the abortion pill to anybody, anywhere, regardless of insurance or even identification, has turned the bathroom into the abortion clinic. And so the only way that we really know if someone has had an abortion is if they report it to their insurance to get to pay for the pill, or they go to their provider and receive it from them. And so this number is likely drastically higher than that 10,000. You can break it down a little bit. Clackamas County here, there was 724. Little old Linn County, we had 180. Marion County, surprisingly, almost 1,000. And Multnomah County, your neighbors, almost 5,000 abortions in that alone. And so, here we are. We exist as Obrea to provide life-affirming medical and educational services to equip individuals to make healthy choices relating to pregnancy, relationships, and parents. The call has been given, and Obrea has answered to combat a horrific evil in our world. And so we do this, and we approach this battle from three different, ways. Three different angles. The first is we believe in preventative education. This is the concept I heard many years ago, an illustration of a city that was built right near a cliff, and they had a problem where people kept falling over the cliff and dying or greatly injuring themselves. And so they had a great debate. What should we do? Well, many people thought, let's put a hospital at the bottom of the cliff. That way, every time they fall over, we have people right there to help care for them, right? Or someone said, hey, well, why don't we just build a fence, right? Why don't we put a fence around the edge of the cliff and people won't fall over, and then we won't need to provide that care later. And so preventive education approaches it from that perspective, that if we can get into the school districts, if we can communicate the idea of value and risk prevention, then maybe we won't see as many crisis issues in our pregnancy clinics. That maybe they'll come in with joy on their faces or great hope for their pregnancy instead of great dread about what they might find out. So that's the first approach, is preventative education. The second is to be available in their moments of crisis, to be there as a welcoming, warm, loving place so that they, in that moment, when they are filled with dread, are received by someone who cares about them and cares about what they're going through. And so we have our clinics and our mobile medical units. We'll talk about those just a minute more. And then, of course, we provide ongoing support, and that is that even after their crisis, whether they choose to keep their child or choose that dreaded other choice, we love them, and they still have value. And because of that value, what do we see? We see even young ladies who have abortions, the next time they're in need, they come back and they keep their child. Why? Because they were given love and respect and they were honored when they visited us. They felt valuable, and they knew that their life inside them was valuable to us too. So that's our approach to ministry. The first one, to break it down, is our preventative education. We do this through a program called Optimal Health, where we go into school districts, youth groups, detention centers, prisons, whatever it may be, any opportunity where there are youth gathered, we go in and we share a message of risk prevention. And so we talk to them about things like coping skills for stress, things like have you ever dreamed of having goals and things you want to accomplish in life? I do this program. I go into the schools and I teach. And I was sharing with a group of 11th and 12th graders one time. And I asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to accomplish in your life? And they sat there and they looked at me like I was crazy. And one of the girls after class came up and said, nobody has asked me that since I was in kindergarten. And I said to her, why not? Why has no one challenged you to have goals in life? That you want to accomplish something, that you want to get an education or have a profession or raise a family or buy a home. Because if you don't have those goals, then you're never going to think about the things that can get in the way of you accomplishing those goals. And what get in the way of accomplishing those goals? Sex, drugs, relationships, right? Who you hang around with, what you expose yourself to. And so we talk about those things. And then we provide hope and support, and then we help them to find ways to reach their goals in life. And it is, I had another girl come up to me, a senior, and she said, no one has helped us like this. No one has challenged us like, thank you. I don't agree with everything you say, but no one else has showed us this kind of care. That's really remarkable. And so right now, we offer this to the last year, I think we had about 1,500 students that we reached. We, this year, have the opportunity, because we are now in West Albany and South Albany high schools and the Albany school districts, we'll be reaching almost 3,000. That effectively doubled the reach that we have. And our hope and our dream and our goal is to be in Clackamas County. Okay? But there are huge obstacles. But here's the amazing thing. We serve a God that overcomes obstacles. Amen? And West Albany High School and South Albany High School, literally in the fall, I was calling health teachers and coaches that I have connections with, and I'm saying, how do I get in? How do I get in? And they said, go someplace else, you'll never get in. And then one day, Hillary Tracy, our chief operating officer, took some crumble cookies to the district office at West Albany High School. And she talked to the right person, and they said, why are you not in our school district? We've been trying for 3 years, right? And the doors opened. And so this year, again, we effectively doubled the reach that we have in with this program. And so my request for you is that you pray for the doors to one school in Clackamas County be opened. It could be a middle school. It could be a high school. It could be a private school. But we need into this area. And we have the resources to begin this effort. And we have closed doors right now, but we believe it'll happen. We're actually hoping that God gives us a year or two before it happens, because it's a lot of work. And we have, our people are overworked right now. And so we need the people to do the classes, and we need the classes. So be praying for that. We believe in faith that God's going to answer that prayer. Okay, so our pregnancy and reproductive care, we offer a lot of different services. Well, like I said, we are not just a crisis pregnancy center any longer. We actually provide pregnancy testing verification. We do a lot of STI screenings and treatment, especially in Linn County, one of the STI capitals of Oregon. We have a huge methamphetamines problem, and so with that comes a lot of STI problems too. And so we provide a lot of care and treatment. Again, you can see some of these words I can't pronounce as a pastor. I went to Bible college, not medical college. So you can kind of get an idea here for some of the things that we provide. We are an accredited I wrote it down on my hand. We are an accredited comprehensive reproductive health clinic. Say that 5 times fast, right? An accredited comprehensive reproductive health clinic. right? Which that means is that we bill insurances. We're recognized by the government as a medical clinic, not just a crisis pregnancy, right? And that has allowed us to do so many things and allowed us open doors into school districts and community colleges and the like, okay? So that's our clinic side. We have two, I almost jumped over my statistics. Okay, so here, you guys have been known, you have a reputation of caring and providing financially for Obrea Medical Clinics. Now here's why I include these percentages right there. These have to do with our effectiveness, okay? 400%, anyone, maybe you've heard this before, anyone know what 400% represents? 400, you know what it represents? Nope. Okay, 90, 50%, 92. Okay, here you go. 400% over the last 4 years increase in the number of patients we see on a weekly, daily basis. 400% increase. What we used to see in a month, we see in a week. We used to see in a week, we see in a day. Right? So that's the need. What's the 50%? 50% of the young ladies coming through the doors of our clinic are abortion determined. It doesn't mean that I think I'm using the wrong terminology here. They are, abortion is on their mind, likely is a better word. And many of them are abortion determined. In other words, they come through the doors thinking that we're an abortion clinic, right? Now here's the good news, 92%. 92% likelihood if they come through the doors of our clinic that they will choose life for their child. Praise God. So when you support in your prayers and your checkbooks, Obrea Medical Clinics, the money that you give, that time and effort you give to encourage our hearts through prayer is paying off, right? We have two clinics. We have two beautiful clinics. If you have not visited, we'd invite you to come by, schedule an appointment with Haley. She would love to walk you through. Our Lebanon clinic may be a little bit more of a challenge for you to come visit, but if you ever come through Lebanon, we would love to have you stop by. We have incredible facilities. I am actually working with a photographer right now to get some of the inside pictures so you can see absolutely beautiful clinics that we have. We also have two mobile medical units. The one that you see parked out here is our newest. That's the one down in Lebanon, and this is the one here in Oregon City. And so I will say this. We love this opportunity that we have to take these clinics out into rural areas specifically. In Lebanon, we've taken them to Brownsville, to Halsey, to Mill City. We've taken it to Jefferson, Salem. All around the areas, we've taken to every little community, and it is amazingly effective because these young ladies then don't have to travel all the way to Lebanon, which is an obstacle. When they see it parked alongside the road in Jefferson, they're much more likely to come and visit us, right? And we hope their child will be saved as a result of that. The problem we have right now is we have these two amazing mobile medical units. We have drivers for them. We have the funds to put them on the road. You know what the problem is? Haley, what's your problem? You need a nurse. We don't have the nurses to staff both our clinic and our mobile medical unit. We have to choose one or the other, and so we prioritize our clinics right now. And so we desperately need your prayers and your connections to staff these units because we have churches right across from Planned Parenthood in Salem and Oregon City where we can park these units. And again, when they are open and ready to go, they're incredibly effective. What is that verse? The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Okay, so our theme, if you come to our banquet here in a few weeks, you're going to hear this over and over. God has opened doors through our optimal health program, through our clinic, and through our mobile medical unit. We need the bodies, the servants, I should say, the heart of people to join us and step through those doors. God has so generously blessed us financially and with prayer partners. Now we need boots on the ground to make this ministry work. So please, please, please be praying for us in that regard. All right. We also, this is probably one of the things I'm most excited about with Obrea. It used to be our optimal health, right? But we have something new coming down the road here that is so exciting. we have consistently over the years offered parenting classes and online support and mentoring for our young ladies, but we have just begun what we called our fatherhood initiative, where we are taking seriously our role and our connection to the young men who come through our clinic, either through STI testing or they're here with their rarely is it their wife, it's usually their girlfriend or baby mama, right? And so they are there and they have no voice and they have no choice in the matter, but they need our care as well. And so we have launched a group. Right now I'm leading a group with four guys as a test pilot. All of them are fathers who are not in the home, right? Because they got their girlfriends pregnant and they never were married, or maybe they've had four or five ladies they've got pregnant, and they are trying now to be godly fathers. We believe that you can be a godly father and not be in the home, because there is a movement right now in our prison systems across this nation and across the world where men in prison, incarcerated with life sentence, are becoming amazing fathers to their kids outside. And if a prisoner can become a good father, well, you can if you're living down the street. And so it is an incredible opportunity that we have where we've written a curriculum. It will be small group based as well as one-on-one mentoring. And we are launching that, and we actually have a hire in the works right now for someone to come and join us in that work. And so if you are interested, or you know of someone who'd be interested in mentoring young men, as soon as we're out of the beta test process, myself and the gentleman who will be joining us would be more than willing to come up and train facilitators on how to train young men to be godly fathers. And so we would invite your participation in that. If you'd like to start a group or start in the community an opportunity for this, this is coming and coming quickly. So please get a hold of me or Haley, and we would love to partner with you on that. We also, of course, do supplies and resources for young parents in things like formula and diapers and any need that they may have. All right, so Obrea Medical Clinics, it's more than just a crisis pregnancy center. We believe in a holistic approach, preventing any oops moments, being there when there are those moments, and then continuing support regardless if they agree with us. That's the beautiful thing about this ministry. It's one of the things I love the most about the heart of Obrea. It doesn't matter if you agree with us. We love you. And why do we love you? Because you have value. And why do you have value? Because your Creator made you, and He's the one who's placed His hand of worth on you. And we will see, always see you, regardless of your life choices. So thank you for allowing me to share the heart and mind of Obrea. Thank you for your partnership. This is a partnership in the ministry of the gospel through love and care that we provide to a group of people that likely many of you will never have the ability to put your hand of influence on. But when they walk through the doors of our clinic, we provide a unique way to share the gospel through the love that we show each of them. So thank you very, very much. We really appreciate you and love you deeply. Oh, may I share two really quick things? Okay, so also today we have these are a handout at the back of our table back there. We have all sorts of swag, stickers and magnets and things to help you remember to pray for us. This is kind of our donor flyer. And so if you'd like to research more kind of what we do, a lot of information is in there. Also coming up here on the 29th of April is our annual fundraising banquet. And so there's a little flyer back there, so you can get that on your calendar. We would love to have you. I know several of you have been there in the past. We have a great program scheduled for you at a great venue. And please talk to Haley if you got any questions, because she's the one kind of coordinating that night. But I'll be up there, and I look forward to meeting you there as well.